listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, August 29th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Lessons from the Chicken Pen.
Well, that's good, wasn't it? Amen? Well, thank you, Dr. Bokwe. I appreciate that. And what a wonderful blessing. He does have a CD in the bookstore. I'll tell you more about that later, but I hope you can avail yourself to get that. Go back to Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew chapter 23. I want us to notice the wording here in verse 37 where it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Then what it says here is, how often would I have gathered thy children together. Now notice the comparison here. Even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You know, years ago when I was coming up as a young man, I had the privilege of being raised on a 280-acre farm. On that 280-acre farm, we had all sorts of farm animals. We had hogs, we had a big old sow, and we had a lot of chickens. And you can learn an awful lot from chickens. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see what the Bible says about that which is the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Now, believe it or not, tonight we live in a very, very wicked world. And I believe that there needs to be some dads, and I believe there needs to be some moms tonight that just decide that you're going to gather your chickens, your little ones, under their wings, your wings. Let's notice some things tonight. And I'm going to invite you to turn to several scriptures because I want you to see them. Go to Psalm 36 and verse 7. Psalm 36 and verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. It says, therefore, it says, the children of men, it says, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. There's something about walking underneath the wings of the Almighty that gives protection from the elements that's in the world, gives protection from the environment that is around them. And so notice tonight some things that we can learn from the Bible. Let me give you some statements here. Chickens are formed differently. Chickens are formed differently. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, for who maketh thee to differ from another. And so God has formed, just like he's formed all of us differently. Don't you thank God that everybody in this room doesn't have the same personality? Wouldn't it be a boring life if everybody in this room had the same type of personality? Wouldn't it be boring if all the people in this room only knew one way to act and to react in every given situation? You know, there's over 50 different standards of chickens, 50 different breeds of chickens. There's the Rhode Island Reds, and there's the White Plymouth Rocks, and there's the Barren Plymouth Rocks, and there's the Silver Gray Dorklings, and then there's the White Leghorns. That's what we have, the White Leghorns. And then there's the Bannies, and there's so many other ones that are different brands or different breeds of chickens. You'll see that chickens are different, just like people. You'll see that there's some chickens a little bit taller, and there's some chickens a little bit shorter. There's some chickens a little bit skinnier. There's some chickens a little bit fatter. There's some chickens that's a little bit richer. There's some chickens that's a little bit poorer. There's some chickens that are red, and there's some that are brown, and there's some that are yellow. There's some that are black. There's some that are white, just like us. So there's a lot of similarities in the different types of chickens that God has given. So statement number one, here's what we see tonight. Chickens are formed differently. But that's good because there's variety. There's variety just by looking at them. The Banny rooster years ago, I thought, you know, since they all look different, maybe they taste different. You know, maybe the ones that are red taste hot. Maybe the ones that are white taste salty. Maybe the ones that are black, they taste maybe peppery. You know, maybe the ones that are of a different type of color. I thought that maybe if they look different on the outside, maybe they're different on the inside. But did you know that even though they look different on the outside, they all taste the same? And even though you and I may look different, and our nose may be different, and our ears may be different, and the way that we walk may be different, and the way that we talk may be different, may I say something to you tonight? On the inside, we're pretty much the same. And so here's what we see. Chickens are formed differently, statement number one. But we see something else about the chickens. Chickens follow the crowd. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch." Some of the dumbest creatures that God ever created are chickens. You know why? Because here's what they do. They always follow the crowd. Example, if you throw something into the chicken pen and it's kind of bright and it's kind of glaring and it's kind of shiny, here's what happens. All the chickens watch that one or two chicken that's going to run over there to give it the attention, and everybody else follows. You know, they don't think about it. They just follow. They're full of energy regardless of what's happening. They're full of zeal. They don't use that which is a head knowledge, but rather they think by their heart. By the way, how many times have we seen this across America for those that follow that which is the Brigham Youngs, and those that follow that which is the Sun Moon, and those that follow the Joseph Smiths, and those that follow the David Koresh, and those that follow... Hey, I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Don't let your children decide to follow off in some strange doctrine. Hey, the best thing to do is have family altar time. The best thing to, hey, get them in a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul winning, separated Baptist church. Get them in a place where the shout's not died out. Get them in a place where that Bible is open. Get them in a place where God can speak to their hearts. We're in church tonight. Now, if you're in church tonight, act like you're in church. Have a good time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's what we see tonight. We see that chickens are strange type of birds. Chickens are formed differently. Chickens follow the crowd. I mean, they just follow the majority. Wherever the majority is going, they're not thinking. They're just following the majority. They don't care where they're going to wind up. They're just following the majority. By the way, that's what most people do with the commercials. How do they advertise on the commercial? Here's what they say. Most dentists prefer. They're trying to get you to follow the crowd. What do they say? Most doctors recommend. They're trying to get you to follow the crowd. Why? They know if they can draw a crowd, more people will follow. They say this. Most people are using... It's a commercial ad, but that's what the world does. What am I saying? I'm saying protect those little baby chickens inside of your house. Protect your mind. Protect your children. Protect those grandchildren. Don't decide that you're just going to follow the majority. Statement number one, we see this, that chickens are formed differently. We see that chickens follow the crowd. Statement number three, chickens fight over things. They fight over things. Have you ever seen them? There's a poor grasshopper that winds up in the chicken pen. And this one chicken goes over and grabs the grasshopper. And then another chicken comes along and starts to take the grasshopper out of the mouth. And before you know it, how many times have we seen people fight over a seat in church? How many times have we seen brothers and sisters, if you will please, fight over a toy when they were a child? How many times have we seen two sisters fight over an article of clothing? How many times have you fought over a Walmart parking spot? Hey, wait a minute. What is that? That's just like the chickens, always fighting over things. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, all the labor of man is for his mouth. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about he likes to do things so that he can go around and tell everybody else what he did. He likes to advertise himself. He's his best salesperson. Now wait, here's what we see. These chickens, what do? They fight over things. But my Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We're not supposed to set our affections down here. Hey, listen, we're supposed to be excited about things in heaven. Hey, now tell you, listen, 10 people baptized this morning. Come on, you can shout about that. Over 500 people on the property. You can, hey, are you listening to me? Many people say, look, get excited about the things that God gets excited about. If you don't get excited about those things, then something else will pull you by the way. Statement number one, I want you to think about this tonight. I'm talking about that which we can learn from the chicken bin, from the chicken coop, from the chicken place where they do dwell. Listen to this. Statement number one, I said this, that chickens are formed differently. Statement number two, chickens follow the crowd. Statement number three, I said chickens fight over things. They fight over things. Statement number four, chickens frighten easily. They frighten easily. Have you ever seen a chicken that's kind of minding his own business in the hen, in the coop, and all of a sudden flies in there all of a sudden? I mean, there's something thrown in there, something fly. You know what they do? They run immediately. Well, my Bible says, listen to me now, that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. So here's a chicken. What? Okay, here's a young person sitting in their room, and I don't know why they've got it in their room, but here's a young person sitting in their room, and now all of a sudden they got the television on. Mom and dad walk in, and immediately they change the channel. Now, why are they doing that? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Here's a young man on the computer, and as soon as mom and daddy comes in, all of a sudden they minus it, they minimize it, they bring up another screen, they'll close the lid, they'll immediately get anxious, they'll immediately get, if you will, please, nervous, and they shut it off. Why? Wicked flee when no man pursueth. Young person having a phone and they're beginning to text this person and text that person, but then they go in and they erase it. Why? Wicked flee when no man pursueth. Hey, why is it that young people get other young people in the rooms and they begin to talk about the wrong things? I'm telling you tonight, we've got to decide that we're going to gather our chickens under our wings. We're going to protect them. We're going to help them. We're going to help them to become bold in Christ. We're not going to let them be scared of living for God. And by the way, if you look up the word chicken in the dictionary, you know what it means? You look it up. The word chicken has one definition beside it, coward. But we use that terminology, don't we? Yeah, when we're trying to get somebody to do something they don't want to do it, here's what we say. We say, you're a chicken. That's what we say. Come on, play basketball with us. Oh, you know, I don't like to play basketball. Chicken. Hey, let's go running together. I think that I can outrun you. Come on, man, let's go. Let's get out on the track and let's go running. Oh, I don't want to. Chicken. Come on. Hey, come on, let's play knuckle bashing. Come on, let's do it. Oh, you know, I don't want to damage my knuckle. And the person says, chicken. Come on. Hey, let's. No, let's not. Okay. Here we go. Here's what we see tonight. Hey, the chickens, what are they? They're a fearful group. I've heard people say this. Well, I don't want to get saved. I'm afraid of what my friends will say. Well, I'm not going to get baptized because if I get baptized, what will my relatives think? Well, I'm not going to join that church because if I join that church, I mean, after all, what will all my friends say down at the workplace? Well, I'm not going to live for God. I'm not changing my music. I'm not changing my habits. I'm not going to step out and give a tithe. I'm not going to step out and give an offering. Hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm saying it's about time we trust the one that created the chicken. We can trust the one that can help us every single step of the way. Let's not be somebody that's a coward. Let's not be somebody that's chicken. Can you imagine? How would you like for somebody to follow you around and every time you took a cowardly step, they're beside you and they're going, bark, 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 bark. Would that irritate you? Come on. I mean, he's your shadow and everywhere you go, you got this guy following you around, watching you to see if you'll step out and do something for God. and you don't step out and do something, it's like the Holy Ghost chicken following you around. Amen. He's following you around, and you start to step out and do something. But by the way, you know that's how the Holy Ghost does work? Did you know that? How many times has the Holy Ghost of God zeroed in on your heart and he told you to do something? Listen to me now. And you didn't do it. When you went home, you felt bad about it because you knew that's what God wanted you to do. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost of God. What he's doing is he's pricking your heart. He's pricking your heart. He's pricking your heart. He's trying to get you to see. By the way, may I say this? Here's what your Bible says. The Bible says that we ought to love him because he first loved us. Now, get off of this thing tonight about saying, well, I'm not going to do it because I'm not convicted. What's conviction have to do? What's that got to do with obeying God? I'm not supposed to obey him because I'm convicted. I'm supposed to obey him because I love him. You're taking a low line to that thing. Don't take a low line to that thing. You know, I tell you what, I'm not going to make that decision unless God shows me and God convicts my heart. You know what conviction is? Conviction is when you're going against the Holy Ghost of God so much that he's causing you to feel bad. That's what conviction is. A person says, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to obey God unless he shows me. And once he shows me and once he convicts me, why has he got to convict you? Hey, let's just decide tonight. I'm going to go to church because I love God. I'm going to read my Bible because I love God. I'm going to go soul winning because I love God. Let's decide tonight. I'm going to take and surrender to God's will. Why? I'm going to do it because I love him. That's why. Wait, here's what we see about that which is the chicken tonight as we visit that which is the chicken coop. We'll see this tonight that they're formed differently. We'll see that the chickens follow a crowd. Chickens, what they do is they fight over things, sometimes stupid things. What do the chickens do? The chickens not only fight over things, but they're frightened very, very easily. Statement number 5, chickens find things in the dirt. They're always trying to scratch things up. So they're always going around the, if you would please, they're going around that which is their chicken coop and they're scratching here. They're always scratching in the dirt. Have you ever seen a Christian that way? They don't take stuff at face value, but they're always trying to find dirt in somebody else's life. They don't love you for who you are. They gotta find something dirty. Now, wait a minute. That's exactly what the chickens do. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27, the Bible says, and it says the ungodly, listen to it now, man diggeth up evil. It's not a godly man that digs up evil. It's the ungodly man. The ungodly man's always going around trying to find some dirt on somebody else. You know why they're doing that? They're trying to find dirt on somebody else so it makes them look good. You ought not to be concerned about somebody else. You ought to decide, here I am, God, take care of me, convict me, help me to be everything that I should be. Somebody's watching me. Somebody needs to see a good testimony. Somebody needs to, I'm saying tonight, here's what we ought to decide to do. Even as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, let's train ourselves and train others not to look for dirt. By the way, what you look for, you'll find it. Did you know that? If you go out and you keep looking for something and looking for something and looking for something, you're going to get dirty fingers. You can always tell somebody that's playing in the dirt. It's pretty evident. You can tell a man that works outside on a farm. It's pretty evident. You can tell a man that works in a grease pit. It's pretty evident. Now, why? Because the evidence is there. Well, let it not be the dirt of others that we find. Let's take care of us. Look, we spend so much time looking at somebody else trying to figure out how we can help them that we slide. Did you know if you were as strong of a Christian as you ought to be, then others, listen to me now, would have a desire created in them to be like you. You know, our Lord did not suffer to have people follow him. You know who followed him? Multitudes. Thank you. You know who followed him? Pharisees. Who were they? Preacher! That was the ones that were outwardly right religiously, but digging for dirt on the inside. Who was the ones that followed him? Sadducees. Who were the Sadducees? Well, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. So there were people that was not right in their doctrine. Come on. You said, but preacher, what in the world should I do? Here's what we ought to decide to do tonight. We ought to decide that we're going to be, yes, different from the world, but also accept somebody else. It doesn't matter the pigment of their skin, and it does not matter the educational ability that they have, and it does not matter their background. Okay, so they used to be that way, but I remember Saul that was a persecutor of the brethren, and I remember how he got saved, and I'm telling you tonight, God can use anybody. Now, I say tonight, listen to me, please. I'm saying that those that are chickens, they're created differently. They're formed differently. Chickens follow the crowd. Chickens fight over things. Chickens are frightened very easily. Chickens find things in the dirt. Statement number 6, chickens are helpless against their predators. They're helpless. That's how come the hen will gather her chickens. Here's what a parent says. Parent says, well, he's a teenager now. I can trust him. Are you crazy? Well, my little teenage girl, she knows what's right according to who? But I've got a grandchild, and my grandchild, boy, they are so spiritual compared to who? You know, Paul said he couldn't even trust his own flesh. Jonathan was getting older, and he said, Dad, I think it was when he hit in his early 20s. He said, Dad, can't you trust me? And I said, son, not on your life. Because if I can't trust me, see, that's why there has to be boundaries. You know the first thing that a mother hen will do when all of a sudden there's a fox that gets in the chicken coop? You know the first thing that the mother hen would do? Oh, yeah, she's scared. But she runs over to try and get her baby chicks. It's a response of motherhood. She doesn't say, okay, go ahead and get them, big foxy. That's your dinner. And not do that at all. You know what she does? Immediately she'll run over and she'll try to get between that which is the predator and that which is her own baby chicks. Why? Because there's a nature there. Wait a minute. If you put a dog in the chicken coop, that dog could probably, just for sport, by the way, not eat the chickens, but they can wipe out about 20 chickens or so before anybody stops it. If you take and you put a coon in the chicken coop, what they'll do is they'll do this. They'll sneak in and they'll take one out at a time. Then they'll come back and they'll sneak in at another time. They'll take another one out at a time. Then they'll come back in another time. You listen to me. That's exactly the way the world does. The world comes and tries to get all the young people and tries to get all the college age people and tries to get all the adults that's in this room with one sweep. And the world says, hey, come on over here. You don't have to go to church. You don't need that type of preaching. You don't need that type of energy behind a pulpit. You don't need somebody that's going to get up there and holler and sweat and spit. You don't need that. Here's what you need. Come with us. That's what the world does. Just like a dog that's out there for sport. But then you got that coon. Boy, that coon will sneak in late at night. A sneaky little devil. Boy, he'll sneak in late at night and he'll take one out. Then the next night he'll come back and he'll sneak in and he'll take another one out. Then the next night that coon will come in and he'll take another one out. Then there's the weasel. The weasel will sneak in late at night and he's not like the coon. The coon makes sure that everybody knows he's there, but not the weasel. Weasel comes in the back door. He comes in a crack. And he'll sneak in so quietly, nobody knows he's there. Matter of fact, it's said that if a weasel will get in that which is the nest of a hen, he could kill the hen, and all the hens around will not even know that the weasel's in the coop. They're sly. You got to be careful about young people that's not all the way sold out on God. You know why? They're sly. Look, I'm telling you tonight, you listen to me. You watch it when young people, they lose their zeal for God. Look, if they're not shouting about Jesus Christ, then who are they shouting for? You know, it ought to be that the young people are more excited about coming to church, hey, than playing basketball or playing football. We ought to decide tonight that Jesus Christ, he's number one, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You ought to rise up as a young person and say, that's what I'll do. I'll serve God. Oh, listen to it tonight. That weasel comes in. Now, what he'll do, he'll get right beside that rooster, and boy, all of a sudden he'll kill that thing, and he'll just wait a while and drag it out ever so slow. Wait, I'm saying tonight we can learn some things about from the chicken coop, from that which is the place where the chickens dwell. What's it like? Well, they're all different. What's it like? It's a place where chickens follow the crowd. It's a place where they fight over things. It's a place where they're easily frightened. It's a place where they dig in the dirt. It's a place where the chickens are helpless against their predators. Let me give you one more statement tonight, and I'm done. It should be a place where the chickens are fruitful. I don't know about you. I like eggs in the morning time. I like my eggs a certain way. I like omelets. I'm just not a regular egg guy. Oh, I like omelets. I like three eggs in my omelets, by the way. I like my wife to get my eggs, and I like her to batter them up real good and get all the, if there's any chunks, get the chunks out. I like my eggs a certain way. Oh, but you know what? I like cheese in my omelets. What is an omelet without cheese? Oh, but man, I like a little bit of meat in there too. Boy, give me some turkey, bologna. That's the Baptist steak, you know. Boy, put a little bit of meat in there. Oh, it's going to be good. Oh, don't forget the onions. Oh, put me some peppers in there. Yeah. Oh, and don't forget Tabasco sauce. Man, you gotta have the Tabasco sauce. You take that, you put that in your plate, and you take your knife, and you cut that thing in half, and you put a little piece of bread, little piece of bread, little piece of bread underneath that, and put it on top, double-decker, you know, and put another piece of bread on top, and I tell you what, you have a breakfast, and with coffee, you are good to go. You know what that is? That's the energy bar. Man, you've got protein in the eggs, and then you've got that heated up vegetable juice that comes from the bean. Man, you're eating healthier than anybody ever dreamed. Wait a minute. Think about this tonight. You think about how chickens are supposed to be fruitful. The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, it says, wherefore, my brethren, it says, ye also, listen to it now, are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married, listen to it now, to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So God is saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to be fruitful. My grandfather, he purchased the breed that was called the Leghorns. The Leghorns would produce eggs 260 days, normally without missing very often at all. Then they would go into moat for about 2 months. But they would produce for about 260 days. And I tell you what, they were very, very productive chickens. But you know what? They lived in protection. We never let our chickens run around loose. Because if you did, the neighbor's dogs would get the chickens. We never let them just run around loose. We had a coop for them to be in, and it provided safety. But yet a lot of young people nowadays, they say, let me out, let me out, let me out. We're trying to protect you from that which is the woes of the devil. You know, the Bible says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's after the who's tonight. He's after those that he can destroy tonight. And by the way, what if a chicken doesn't produce, what's it good for? The fryer. What's it good for? Dumplings. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want my children to be that's good for the fryer, and I definitely don't want to see them in a dumpling. So what should we do as parents tonight? Let me tell you. Let's provide a safe haven. Amen? Oh, come on. When those teenagers are up here in the choir and they're up here and boy, they're singing and they're up here and they're giving it their best shot. Look, don't sit out there like a bump on a log. You know, don't sit out there like you're half dead. Man, they're up here giving it their best shot. Hey, it takes time to practice. It takes time to do it right. What ought you? Smile a little bit. Wave your hand a little bit. Get excited a little bit. Be thrilled a little bit. Be somebody that shows approval a little bit. Hey, let's cheer the young people on. Let's help them to stay on fire for God. And by the way, since we're doing that with young people, let's you and I light it up too. Oh, think about this tonight. Here's what we see tonight. Inside of that chicken coop, there's safety. But yet inside of that chicken coop, if something was to break in to try and get those little chicks, I believe that mama's going to try and protect. By the way, the Bible says, as that which is a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Underneath the wings, there's shadow. Underneath the wings, there's security. Underneath the wings, you could hear mama's heartbeat. That's talking about relationship. Underneath the wings, there is no fear. Underneath the wings, they don't see any evil. Underneath the wings, they don't hear the things that others hear that's out roaming around all by themselves. Underneath the wings, they don't see the other chickens fighting in the coop. Underneath the wings, they don't see anybody else that's digging in the dirt. Underneath the wings, they don't see that there's some people out there and they're running over here and they're running over there like a bunch of mad chickens and they don't know where to go and they don't know what to believe. But underneath the wings, there's security. Underneath the wings, there's help. What am I saying? I'm saying tonight, let's just decide at Parkside Baptist Church, we're going to protect our own. We're going to be excited about the things of God. We're going to protect our young people. Just keep it up. Keep going. Protect them. Put them under your wings. And as you do that, you'll see that young people rise up and live longer. And they become wise against the predators. And they become wise in knowing exactly how their heart ought to beat because they had a mom and a daddy that had a close heartbeat. There's a lot that we can learn from the chicken coop. And I don't know about you tonight, but I like to be somebody that has my children, and mama has our children, underneath our wings so that they feel the protection of a mama and a daddy. But I like to have them in church. Come on. Now stay with me and I'm done. Final application. It's one thing for them to be under your wings on Sunday school, and on the Sunday morning service, and on the Sunday night service, and on the Wednesday night service. But did you know they ought to be under your wings all the time? It's one thing for them to hang around the right type of people at church. But friend, it's another thing for them to hang around the right type of people in the community and in the neighborhood. Hey, it's one thing to come to church and, wow, preacher preaches a hot one and somebody says amen and somebody waves a hand and somebody gets excited and somebody comes to an altar. Hey, that's one thing, but it's another thing to be true at home and be right at home and give the right testimony at home. Nobody knows it, but your kids know it and they understand and they see. Let's be honest. Let's be right in church and be right at home too. Underneath the wings. Then they also understand this. As they're underneath the wings of the hen, they also understand how wonderful it is to be underneath the wings of the Almighty. Because you stand in the stead of authority. Amen. Brother Danny, I'm going to talk about you. Been in the military how many years? Talk to me. 6 years. Served overseas. I heard about something happen in choir. I love this about this guy. I heard that he mentioned something about, well, maybe those words ought to be different. Brother Palmore, in the place of authority, which was right, said, no, this is the way we're going to do it. Then afterwards, a meeting in the office, and Brother Danny apologized and said, I was wrong because you're my authority. That goes miles. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you apologized to your mom and daddy? When's the last time that you decided, hey, daddy, I want you to know that you're right? Because God has placed you in the authority in my life. Come on. Those banty roosters. You ever see a banty rooster? They're cocky. You ever see them? They show their stuff. I mean, you know, they got their head. You ever see a rooster strut? You ever see them? That's a, what'd you say? Come here. Come here. Come here.
I've never seen one.
You ever see a banty rooster strut? Go ahead, strut. Go ahead. That goes on the internet, by the way. No, I'm kidding. But when a banty rooster struts, you know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. I'm done. But here's what a banty rooster is saying when he struts. Is I don't need you, and I don't want you, and I can handle it all by myself. Did you know there are more banty roosters and other type of birds of that caliber that get into trouble and get killed? More than anything else? You know why? Because they want it their own way. You know, a true leader does not mind taking orders from somebody else. Because a true leader will first have that which is the attitude of being a servant. Always comes first. Underneath the wings of the Almighty.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.